from Beer of the Day World Headquarters in Elk Grove, California. It's the Beer of the Day Podcast. On the show this evening, we concentrate on East Coast beers and try five different beers from the Eastern Seaboard. We also have a strange brew from Lips of Faith Series, New Belgium, and we review the Tom Brady beer controversy. I'm Dallas Helliker. Joining me tonight, Andy Hamilton, Megan Marin, Matt Harding, Steve Williamson, Kira Hopkin, Brandon Hofer. Wow. Full crew here.
Wow. A lot. It's been a while since we had this many actually in studio.
Yeah. Well, we got rid of the remote people today and just have everyone right here.
There's a lot of body heat. I can feel it.
You're welcome.
All right. First beer. We're going to go to Sam Adams. Honey Queen. This is a Braggot, 7.5%. And we're going to take a little bit of time here to pour.
It smells sweet.
What's, you said 7.5?
Yeah.
What is a Braggot? I don't know if I've actually ever had one. Anybody know?
No idea.
I think it's someone who talks about themselves a lot in a really positive way.
That's a braggart.
Oh.
Close.
I think it's like a mix of styles. I could be wrong.
Probably him.
I'll tell you what it is. It is a form of mead made with both honey and barley malt. It typically uses 1/3 or more malt and may have as much as 50% malt.
Okay.
Thank you, Google.
And it looks like a giant bottle of Yoo-Hoo.
I don't get the Yoo-Hoo.
I don't know.
It's yellow.
It's not it's that yellow. I make a lot of Yoo-Hoo references on this podcast, and I don't agree with you.
Well, you're the Yoo-Hoo expert.
I'm the resident Yoo-Hoo expert.
I'll defer to your judgment.
Andy, you very rarely agree with anyone. So
it's kind of a golden colored, you know.
Yeah,
classic gold. It's pretty hazy.
Yeah, a little cloudy.
And it's got a very foamy white head that seems to linger around on the top of the.
It's got that, I mean, we talked about it last week, that iridescence of the dish soap mixed with a little urine.
Wow, I'm so excited to drink this now.
Right? I mean, it's got the yellow with a little bit of a, like somebody didn't have enough water that day.
I get kind of a wheat beer smell to it. Kind of maybe a little Belgian yeast.
It's really sweet on the aroma. I don't know. I'm not getting the wheat, but I do get the sweetness.
Wheat beers are usually sweet.
Yeah, but it's a wheat sweet. It's not. Mm-hmm. This is like lemony honey.
That's what I kind of get, like a lemon almost.
Is there lemon in here? Orange blossom?
There's a little bit of a citrus smell.
Yeah, it definitely has a citrus taste.
And when you taste it, it tastes like you're drinking liquid honey.
Yeah.
This is probably the sweetest beer I've ever had.
Yeah, it kind of tastes like a honey, orange or honey lemon mixture.
I don't know. I don't know what to say about this one. I'm not a fan, really. It doesn't really taste like a beer. I don't know.
It reminds me of the summer shandy.
I was just gonna say that,
but without the like all summery, the lemon.
Yeah,
but it's exciting notes.
Well, I think it's 7.5%, so it's a little bit heavier in that regard.
It gets syrupy in your mouth. The aftertaste is kind of thick.
Yeah, but it's that lemon /
yeah. It sticks around.
Honey, you know. I don't mind it. It's not not something to drink every day, but it's not terrible.
I don't think I could have a full beer of this. Well, taste is okay, but it's very sweet.
I kind of expected it to be more honey than it is.
Yeah, I feel like it's more citrus.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't. I think it's all... I get in the back of my throat. It's just sweet, sweet, sweet. That's all I taste.
The back of your throat.
What about the
all
front?
All the time.
I get the honey. The honey is the part that lingers, really.
I will say it's a very smooth, and that part kind of reminds me of like a syrupy type of texture to it. But it's for me, it's not my style. I prefer something a little more hopped. I mean, it is definitely a very malty beer, and you know, we should expect that based off the style, but for me, it's just not really doing it.
I just wish it was more carbonated. It's so flat.
Yeah. A little flat on there.
What about the 7.5%?
Yeah, I think that's the biggest shocker. It
doesn't feel like it is.
Not at all. But I think that's a lot of the sweetness that just won't taste the alcohol in this beer unless it's over 15%, just because it's that sweet.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get into the beer news of the day. All right, well, gotta start with this one, even though I'm getting a little tired of these gimmicky beers that keep coming out. But, so it's Sunday morning, and you get up after a night of drinking the day before, and obviously you're hungover. You slept in till 10 a.m. What do you do? You get a beer out of the fridge, crack it open, and you say, "Breakfast of Champions." And so finally, now they're going to make a Wheaties beer, and it's a wheat beer. So now I guess you can officially say the Breakfast of Champions.
Is it like a General Mills product, or is it?
General Mills is teaming up with a brewer, Fulton Beer, and they are collaborating on this Wheaties branded Hefe Wheaties, it's called.
Well, it's about damn time.
I think that's
my kind of breakfast. I've been waiting my whole life for this.
I'm pretty sure this is something that I could drink before my beer league hockey games.
My favorite breakfast beer is the one where you just put the egg in it, and that's good to go.
Yeah.
Longshoreman's breakfast.
Yeah. that's how they did it on The Wire season 2, and that's the way I do it.
That's how we do it around here.
I don't think I could do that.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, so they have like the Ben and Jerry's beer, and they have the Game of Thrones beer, and anything that is popular or not, they're trying to cash in.
Yep.
They had the Simpsons beer a couple of weeks ago, and they're now going to come out with Duff beer, as if you know that's gonna sell beer. I don't know. Seems a little weird to me. And Wheaties being like healthy,
and like 1982,
surprising that they would jump on board with this.
Although, yeah. Like Wheaties is kind of like a mealy cereal, which I can equate to a beer. It'd be interesting if it actually had some resemblance to the cereal, because I could see that. But based on the fact they're doing a Hefeweizen, I don't think it will.
That's what I was.
It should be like an oatmeal, maybe not an oatmeal stout, but like something heavy and hearty like that, you know?
That was going to be my thing. Like, I know they're cashing in on the name because that's what you can do. But when I think of Wheaties, I think of like that really
hearty
cereal. So,
well, then I have a suggestion for General Mills next time: Cinnamon Toast Crunch Beer.
Like it.
Oh, yeah. This actually sounds kind of good.
Yeah.
I'm sure that'll be next. And then the big story in the beer world this week involved the NFL, and we're getting close to NFL season again. And so this actually ballooned into more of a story than I anticipated it would. But Sun King Brewery in Indianapolis, they have their Wee Heavy, it's called Wee Mac Scottish Ale. It comes in a can. And they have a printer that they print on the bottom of the cans that prints the date that the beer came out, so that you can tell if it's fresh or not. Well, this guy, an employee without, you know, running it by anybody, put Tom Brady Sucks. S-U-X, and printed that at the bottom of these cans.
Instead of the date?
Well, and then Tom Brady Sucks, and then the date right after it.
Oh.
And so he printed this on 20,000 cans of beer.
Wow.
And it went up, went viral, and it became his news story. And so the employee's name is Biscuit, is what he goes by. That's his name.
Makes sense.
And so eventually the brewery had to come out and apologize, and then they said that now Biscuit is going to have to run it through management every yeah. time he wants to put some saying on the bottom of the
They
can.
Were going to fire him, but their sales skyrocketed. Yeah. So.
This is the worst accidental mistake yeah. we've ever had before.
Yeah. So now Blue Hills Brewery in Massachusetts printed Andrew Luck sucks.
I saw that.
On the bottom of their cans.
That's great.
A Luck sucks is what they could fit on the thing. And so so they're kind of basically capitalizing on this publicity, because I never heard of Blue Hills Brewery, but
can't they pick quarterbacks that actually suck?
Yeah, I mean, you can write A Luck sucks on the bottom of the can, but anybody would like to have him on your team.
I think so. It's actually better when they're calling good quarterbacks, you know, like that's just good camaraderie or whatever.
Well, I mean, they've had that, you know, rivalry with the Colts yeah. since Peyton's been in the league. And so, I mean, it's understandable. You get knocked out of the playoffs a couple of times, you might be a little bitter. And hey, it worked out for the brewery. It sounds like it sales were good, but
I want to see like a Geno Smith can't take a punch at the bottom of a beer. I feel like that'd be more entertaining.
I really wish I was A Luck. I'd sue him for slander in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of fun. I was entertained by it. All right, well, let's get into the next beer. This is from Smutty Nose Brewing Company in Hampton, New Hampshire. Smutty Nose. Bouncy House IPA.
Interesting name.
That's M as in Michael. Smutty.
Not with an L? Is that what you're trying to get at?
Oh, just whatever anyone might have been thinking besides that.
Okay. So what ABV do we got?
This is 4.3%.
4.3. Yeah.
So we got a little session IPA.
Very low IPA.
Who makes an IPA that's 4.3%?
I've actually had several of them lately.
Is it worth making 4.3%?
I mean, I had we were at OTP the other day, and they had a session IPA on there from, I don't remember what brewery it was now, though.
But this isn't even billed as a session IPA. It just says IPA on the bottle.
This label is the worst label I've ever seen.
Can we talk
in my life.
A little about the label?
Hey, that could Smutty be Smutty Nose.
Yeah.
So
don't quite know the nose. Smutty Nose.
It's a Bouncy House IPA. They're playing in a bounce house.
That might be the scariest redhead I've ever seen in my life.
So anybody have any thoughts? Anybody?
Well, let's.
It smells a little skunky.
I think it smells great.
Skunky. It smells skunky to me.
Wasn't a fan of the smell.
It does smell a little off.
It just smells hoppy to me.
Yeah,
maybe
it smells hoppy.
But maybe it's been in the bottle a while, you know. It might be a little older. Does it have a date on it?
Bottled in 1994.
Probably not. That's probably the brewery since.
Yeah. I hope it wasn't bottled in 94.
This chick's face.
Seriously.
I'm telling you. Yeah.
I don't know. I doubt it.
Oh, color-wise, it's kind of
Best Buy 8/24/2015. So we're
right there.
Barely
right
there.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
It's in its prime.
It's an all-occasion American ale.
Something.
I thought it was an IPA.
They're very confused over there.
It's very cloudy. Is everybody else's cloudy? Well, you guys is settled down.
Mine's
look at that.
That's a little more
Andy's is very cloudy.
What'd you do to your
and Dal's too.
I think it's their glass.
The end of the bottle.
We got the bottom, so we got the yeast in there.
Yeah, and there's a little bit of yeast floating in the bottom of my glass. I mean, it's kind of a golden, maybe slightly darker than standard golden color.
Honestly, it's pretty close to the Braggot that we just had in terms of color. It's
very similar.
About the same.
A little darker.
Well, yours is with
a little more
yeast.
A little more dehydrated.
Yeah.
So taste-wise, I guess for a 4.3% IPA, it's what you would expect. It's very thin and watery.
Yeah.
It's like you took a standard IPA and you poured water in it and watered it down.
The alcohol is overpowering me.
It's
no, it's exactly that. It tastes... yeah, like an IPA cut with water.
You just get like nothing out of it.
It's definitely not complex. Is definitely not the word to use with this one. There's not a lot to it. There's not a lot of depth to the flavor. You get a little bit of the hop note, but it's most just kind of a watered down tasting IPA.
Okay, so let's put it in these terms. You have a Coors Light, which is 4.5%, and you have this beer, which is 4.3%. Which one do you choose?
This Coors Light.
Coors Light.
Coors Light.
I can't stomach Coors Light.
Andy hates it out of principle. But yeah.
No,
Coors Light at least doesn't taste. I mean, it's watered down to a point, but this tastes like it's really watered down, and I'm not a fan of it at all.
It's a weird aftertaste, too.
Yeah, it does. It kind of lingers. It's just.
No. There's nothing There's good no
unpleasant.
About
to me. Coors Light ruins my life.
I feel like if you had enough of this, it would ruin your life too.
I don't think it would do anything. It would actually not affect my life in any way, shape, or form.
So I'm getting kind of a coppery finish. Like it's kind of a metallic,
a little metallic
taste. Yeah. Like on the aftertaste, and it's not, it's kind of a little off putting. I'm not
It's unpleasant. It's not something you want to have as an aftertaste from a beer.
It tastes like it came out of a can, but it
if I have to choose between this and Coors Light, I choose nothing. I choose death.
I'm actually leaning towards a light beer, whether it's Bud Light or Coors Light, if I had to choose. I'm not a, it's another one that I'm not a real big fan of. It, maybe it's just this bottle that's bad, but it's.
Could be.
Just not a lot of flavor to it and doesn't do a whole bunch for me.
All right, well.
A plus on the label, though.
If the this label's one awful. Doesn't do it for you, let's move on to the next one.
I want to know where you found this.
Where we found it.
Mm-hmm. Was it? I think it was part of the craft beer pack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Next one is Flying Fish Belgian Double. Flying Fish Brewing Company, Somerdale, New Jersey.
We've had, I don't think we've had one of their on their the show before, but we've definitely had some other Flying Fish beers.
I think you're thinking of Flying Dog.
You're probably right.
So this. Last year for Christmas, Dallas bought me this membership to this craft beer club. And for 6 months, I got 12, it was 12 beers, but four different beers in each pack. Mm-hmm.
Yes, thank you, Dell, for waking me up every morning.
Megan had to be home to sign for it.
Yeah. Which was actually kind of good because we got to try. It's tough for us to get these East Coast beers. So these are the ones that we've compiled together over several months. There's a couple places that we go to that do have a pretty decent bottle selection from the East Coast, but sometimes we get very West Coast centric, so it's good to kind of change it up and do some more East Coast shows. Eventually, we were talking about this the other day, we're going to have to start to get into some bottle exchanges with some of our East Coast listeners. That way we can get some real good, the cream of the crop East Coast beer. Because right now, we're just drinking whatever we can get our hands on. And it would be good to have somebody who knows all the East Coast beer to be like, hey, these are the ones you should be trying.
Yep. And, you know, one thing I found with the craft beer club was they send mostly just kind of the most mainstream beer from each brewery. This, I remember being one of the most interesting, though. It's the one of the more exotic style than the everything else was amber ale, IPA, some sort of a lager, you know, everything kind of just muddled together. In fact, I'm sure I have some more of these smutty nose IPAs in the fridge. So
lucky you.
If anybody wants one, let me know. It's yours.
This is kind of a
dark copper color.
I love the color of this beer. It looks awesome. Like cream soda or like a root beer to me, kind of.
Looks like a penny from 1966.
I was going to say, it's definitely got a kind of a dark amber.
Yeah, I like the root beer.
I get
smells like a Belgian.
Yeah, and I get some like caramel notes on the smell.
I don't know. I'm getting kind of a baked bean smell, but it smells baked delicious.
I think it's
very specific.
I kind of get like a brown sugar, so I can see that because like in, you know, you'd have that.
Like baked
but
bean, yeah, but well, it smells delicious.
Baked beans have brown sugar in them, you know.
And that's what I was going to say. I get brown sugar, not necessarily caramel, but, you know, it is a complex beer. The first, I had a sip, you know, it's kind of what you would expect from a double. I mean, it's, you get that Belgian yeast taste to it, but it's a really kind of a deep, complex flavor. And I kind of get like maybe some raisin a little bit. I don't know.
There's a sweetness to it. Little bit
dried fruit, right, maybe of some
baked
kind.
Beans and some raisins. I don't know about that.
Now upon taste, I'm still getting baked beans.
Like a dry aroma from it, and it's like a dry caramel.
I like it.
Well, I think maybe kind of a smokiness, a little bit.
Do you get any like banana or plantain?
You know, kind of.
I get a little bit of that.
I smell that more than I taste it. I can smell
like the banana flavor.
I get less of the banana flavor and more of the sweetness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm getting the sweetness too.
Like after you've eaten the banana, that leftover sweetness in your mouth, I get that.
I know exactly what you mean.
I bet you do.
Tough to follow that one.
No, I have comebacks, believe me. I'm trying to keep this rated PG. R and not...
You're trying to keep it rated R?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think it's a pretty good double. Like, so far it's... you know, I like this one the best out of the three that we've had.
It definitely, it fits the bill of being an American-made Belgian double,
mm-hmm.
where you can tell it's an American beer, but at the same time, it fits the bill. So
it's good, caramely. I like it.
All right, we're gonna take our quick break. When we come back, we have our Strange Brew segment with another new Belgian Lips of Faith series, and then we have two more beers from our East Coast selection. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Beer of the Day podcast. All right, we have a website, beeroftheday.com, and that is where you find this podcast and all of our past episodes. Beer of the Day is exactly what it sounds like. We feature a new beer each day. Pretty good, huh? And so we write descriptions of the beers, take photos of them, and put them up. And while you're on the website, you should create an account because we send you the beer of the day each day. If you sign up with your email address, we'll email it to you. Or if you put your mobile phone number on file, then we'll actually send it to you on text message with the picture and a link to view the beer on the website. You can respond to that text message and rate the beer or write comments on it. And so it's pretty convenient. We also post the beer of the day to Facebook and Twitter. So if you want to see that, you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/thebeeroftheday or follow us on Twitter at Beer of the Day. All right, let's get into our Strange Brew segment. Welcome back to the Beer of the Day podcast, our Strange Brew segment. This is where we find the strangest beer that we can find at the store, and we try it so you don't have to.
Hey, we've had some good ones.
I'm actually looking forward to this one today.
So Brandon found this today, right?
Yep.
And texted me and said, hey, do we need a Strange Brew? And I said, yeah, get it. Actually sounded pretty good. What do we have?
So this one, it's another one from the Lips of Faith series, which we've had featured on this podcast several times, but this is Eric's Ale. It's a wood-aged sour peach ale coming in at 7%. So the reason I kind of picked that one up today was I've had a lot of sours, but I don't know if I've ever had a peach sour, and it just sounded like an interesting beer to try.
It almost sounds like a pizza.
Yeah.
Wood-fired peach pizza.
No.
I've had a sour peach before, but never a peach sour.
Yeah.
Myself.
Never a peach pizza.
It's a thing. Ask Bobby Flay.
No. Bobby Flay sucks. Just kidding.
I was going to say.
I'm just kidding. Hey, maybe he'll watch this.
So this is
Listen.
Very cloudy.
Yeah.
That last one was pretty cloudy. This one, you can't see through at all. It's your standard golden yellow color.
It's pretty much in line with the other beers, except for the Belgian double from the night.
Kind of a light straw color almost.
But it's either, you know, it's aged in a barrel or it has the chips in it or whatever. It's going to have a little bit of stuff floating around in it.
Yeah. I get a kind of a sour apple aroma here. Getting any peach on the aroma.
Yeah, no, I'm going. It's throwing a hell of a sour aroma for sure.
I get peach. I don't know. I get like that.
I get a sour peach. Yeah.
Yeah. The aroma is very subtle to me. I don't get a lot of.
Well, I'm just. They aren't supposed to be sour generally, but I get that's what it smells like. It's you get the sour smell, and then the peach also. So
that's when smog comes in. It's smower. I think if you really get your nose in there and just like a big smell of it, I smell a lot of peach.
I get peach. Really, I get that cleanliness. You know that. Even if you have like not a ripened peach, you know it's got that snap to it where it's it almost tastes like nothing, but it's a peach. I don't know how to explain
it. A little tangy.
Yeah, but not too much. And then there's the sour, obviously the sour factor, but that's not the peach. That's the sour. You know.
So this isn't like the most sour beer I've ever had, but it's pretty sour. Yeah. I get that pucker going sour, and a little of that mouthwater thing that happens.
Funny. This is like the least sour I've had in a long time.
I was just going to say, for me, I don't even think it's that sour. It's more tart than sour.
The finish is definitely very tart.
It makes my mouth water.
Yeah, my mouth watering a lot. That doesn't happen with a lot of beers.
This is not how beer should taste like.
I don't get that at all. This tastes like, I mean, this is so smooth to me. I don't even.
What's wrong with
I don't even recognize it as a sour right now. I think it's.
Is your mouth what's not your, watering right now?
Menstrual cycle this month? Is it?
No. I got 7 more days. I'm good.
Do you get a lot of peach on this?
No. Like, I'm not peach. I'm not picking any of that.
I'm getting like sour apple a lot. Yeah. It's like a Jolly Rancher.
Sour Patch Kids.
That's, you know what I'm not getting is the signature New Belgium taste.
Zero.
Belgian taste.
I actually forgot this was New Belgium, and I was like living in the fantasy world. And now I'm like ripped back to reality where.
But it's not. I don't. There's no dirt flavor in this beer like there are in all their other beers.
There's sugar dancing.
Generally,
on my tongue.
The Lips of Faith series is the best New Belgium beers we've ever had.
That's true.
And this is no different.
I think it compares favorably to like La Folie. I don't know. Had it, but
I like La Folie to me is more complex. I just maybe it's that the peach flavor doesn't come through. You know, I smelled it, but I don't really taste it much. But La Folie has those brown notes in it. Which you just for a sour ale, it's hard to get that right, and it does it so well.
I kind of like this. It's has a pretty good amount of carbonation. Sometimes sours can just be kind of flat, and I get a little carbonation. I get a little bit of Belgian characteristics, kind of a little of that Belgian yeast.
I agree.
That maltiness, but not too much.
I wouldn't call it highly carbonated though. It's got carbonation, but it's not. For the style of beer, I agree. It's more carbonated.
Yeah,
than
you're right though. It's still very lightly carbonated. Don't get me wrong, but a lot of sours that I have are flat completely.
Yeah, this reminded me a lot more of like I think you nailed it with a Belgian or a white ale. I really don't get the sour at all, and I've been drinking a lot of sours lately, and
It's not as sour as sours go.
You don't get sour at all.
It's not super sour, but it's definitely there.
It's probably the easiest sour I've ever drank.
Well,
but it's still got that sour.
After the show, we'll run to the emergency room and check you out.
It is sour. And I do get a little pucker, and I do get the mouth watering thing. But Steve is a little immune to it because we at OTP, they have some ridiculously sour sours. And so we drink a lot of those.
I'm with Steve. Like for me, it's not a real sour beer. A little bit of tart, and you know you can tell it's a sour. But for me, compared to some of the other ones I've had, it's not nearly as.
I agree. It's not super sour, but I taste the sour for sure.
Yeah.
All right, let's ramp this up. Let's move into the Undead Party Crasher Imperial Stout from Clown Shoes Beer.
This is like a complete 180.
Ipswich, Massachusetts. Clown Shoes, one of my favorite East Coast breweries. I've had a lot of beers from them that I like. I've never had this one before. And we got this one quite a while ago, 3-4 months ago. And it's just been sitting in there waiting for the opportunity to join the party here.
I'll say Megan looks a little frightened by this beer. She's making some interesting faces. Very looking dark. At this stout here.
The label looks really
smells
cool.
Like a stout.
Yeah, the label's interesting.
What a fantastic name, though.
Clown Shoes.
They always come through with the name, but
and their labels are always
really good.
I don't remember the first one I bought. It was like, I don't remember exactly which Clown Shoes it was, but I mean they all have that, you know, drawn on animated look
the
on
Galactica
the label. But
IPA.
So this is
that was a great one.
Yeah, Galactica. This is very very dark brown. It's not black. It's still very brown, but it
you
is.
You can't see through it though.
You can't see through it, and just the slightest a bit of light comes around on the edges.
It's almost black.
Yeah, it's close.
Got good head on it though.
That's what she said.
Jesus, we've been doing this show how long, and all of a sudden.
Yeah, that joke's never been used before.
Yeah.
So I get a fair amount of kind of that brown sugar, smoky
chocolate.
Brown sugar.
Smoke, yeah.
Smoked, yeah. Definitely smoked.
Chocolate, smoky. Yes. Mm-hmm. Dark chocolate, smoky brown sugar smell.
Smells like a stout.
This is pretty common with imperial stouts like this.
Yep. Burnt
espresso. It's a little viscous. It's got that.
You like my word, don't you? It is very viscous. You can see it stick to the side of the cup.
Yeah,
it's,
and it's like
it's actually 3% motor oil. Somebody
passed biology.
It's like you know that used motor oil.
I smell like hickory chips. Like if you're gonna smoke something in hickory,
it's funny you should say that. It says malt smoked locally with hickory and ash. So,
but this
you read that beforehand, didn't you?
No, I didn't. He didn't.
He doesn't know how to read.
Hooked on phonics, it didn't work for me.
Wow.
Tastes like hickory chips.
Just because you read that now.
It's very smoky on the...
I'm with that. Yeah, it's really smoky.
I kind of want to let this warm up a little bit.
Yeah.
Warm up, and I just need a few more sips after that sour just to really get it. It's so different.
Too much of a change.
That first sip was really good, but that could be that it's just turning my taste buds to the other side, you know, the dark side.
So
take one more sip.
The smell of this.
Three sips.
And the style in general makes me think that I'm always afraid it's going to be too sweet. That's not the case with this. Mm-mm. It's not killing you with the sweetness to cover up the alcohol, which you see a lot. This is... they've toned that sweetness down quite a bit. So you're getting a lot of these super dark malt characteristics, the smokiness, and not a whole lot of sweetness.
I get like the bitterness of dark chocolate mixed with caramel.
Yes.
Get that dark chocolate
balance
at the end.
Against each other, and it's like kind of the perfect balance, you know?
I almost want a little bit more bitterness in this because it's not sweet. It's just
I think that's what it is bitter versus sweet. They're both in here. You just can't tell.
I mean, it is well balanced.
Right.
I mean, it's smooth.
You're right. But
easy to
it's
drink.
It's not going extreme with the bitterness or extreme with the sweetness. So it has that cocoa nib thing.
Yep.
But it's not overkill.
I don't think Kara likes it.
Nope. It's
I'm
not
still,
a frown.
I'm still.
We have a flat smiley face. It's not
I'm
quite
still,
a smiley face.
I'm
it's
still
a flat
torn.
Face.
It's. I could drink it, but I don't know if I'd want multiple ones of it. I think I could just do one glass and be okay with it.
For the style, I think it's really good. Like for an imperial stout, you know, it's. I like the smoky. What's going on, Del?
No. Nothing.
I like stouts, but this is not
one
of my favorite.
I don't typically like
ones.
Stouts, and I could drink this. Because of the balance, it's really.
I will say, you know, Clown Shoes kind of burst on the scene here on the West Coast a year and a half ago. Like they started distributing here, and I've been impressed. This is probably our 10th or 12th beer we've had from them. There was one, I don't even remember what it was. There was one I didn't like, but the rest of them I thought were done really well. So I've been impressed every time. More things from Clown Shoes.
I like this one a lot. I always say this, but last year, 2014 was the year of the Imperial Stout, and there were so many good ones, and this one ranks right up there with them.
Yeah.
It's one of the best I've ever tried.
I would like to try this, like, aged also, as far as, like, even, like, a barrel-aged or
put it in a bourbon barrel
and really kind of mellow out some of that smokiness a little bit. And, I mean, it's really good as is. I think it's a good beer, but I think if it, you know, matured a little bit, or it might even be a little bit better.
Yeah, we did a show last year, one of our test shows, with the barrel-aged Narwhal and the barrel-aged Old Rasputin. And I think if you did that same type of treatment to this, you would get something pretty incredible.
I like the smokiness to it, though.
I agree. No, some smoked stouts really, it's just too much smoke. And this is not. It's mm-mm. very tame.
It's got really good balance.
Yeah, this one, it's definitely not too much. You can tell it's there. It's up front, but it's not overpowering.
Yeah. All right, well, while we finish these beers up,
it's trivia time.
We have a Dogfish Head beer next. So I'm going to ask a Dogfish Head related trivia question.
I'll take Dogfish Head for 800, please, Dell.
This isn't Jeopardy.
Oh.
But if it was.
Shot you down.
But it's not. Okay, so the trivia question is, name all 5 minute IPAs from Dogfish Head.
I'll let everybody else go first.
Andy can't answer.
Minuteman.
I'll name them in order.
60 minute.
So I know four.
60 minute.
I think
yes.
I know four because Dogfish go Head for is it, Matt. One of my favorites. 45, 60, 90, and 120.
No. And next?
Okay.
Maybe wow, not. I got shot down yeah, fast.
Really.
60, 75.
Nope. Next.
Well, they have a 75, they have a 90, and they have a 120.
All right.
Wait, what'd you say?
60, 75, yes. 90, and a 120, yes. And I don't know yes. the fifth.
68.
Nope. You're close.
69.
No, lower.
67.
Nope.
60.
61.
61. That's the raisin one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The grape must.
They like grape must because they also...
They like grape must, yeah. Well, they imported 80,000 pounds a week of it from Napa, so they have to put it in all their beer.
Yeah.
It's Matt's favorite beer, the Midas Touch over there.
Hell yeah, that was the first one I had.
I actually... That's okay. One of the ones I don't like
yeah,
from them.
You guys
it's
weren't
like
a
my,
fan
of
it when I introduced you to it, but I'm a big fan of it.
So what's the story behind the minutes?
That is how long it's...
Boiled?
Boiled for.
So that's
partly
true. So they do a continuous hop addition during the boil, and it's the number of minutes in which they do that. They have a machine there called Sir Hops-a-Lot that they created to do this process, and now they have $1 billion.
And... So 61 minutes is how long they
yeah,
do the hops?
So the 60, like they took the 60 minute, basically the 61 is they did it, their 60,
took the
60 minute IPA and added this grape shit. Grape
for
stuff.
1 minute.
And 75 is one that we can't get here on the West Coast. I don't think I've ever seen it.
Our first, no, we did it on our very first test podcast for the beer of the day. We did a 75 minute. It's the one with the maple syrup in it.
Yeah, I was going to say.
We
it's,
did it. Remember that?
Yeah. I think so, I've had them all.
Yeah,
we've
had them all.
60, 61, we had it at a Cap Tap.
And we did it on the show.
We had 120 at Cap Tap.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we've had all the minute IPAs. All right, well, the next beer is Palo Santo Marrone Imperial Brown Ale.
Is that something they say on The Sopranos?
Marrone! No, it's
Palo Santo Marrone.
That looks dark.
Imperial and brown.
It is dark.
Mixed breed.
So we're going 2% more than the previous beer.
This is Dogfish?
And there was no head on that when Andy's pouring it.
Dogfish, no head.
Dogfish, a couple of bubbles.
So this one is, I have to say, it's black.
It is definitely
black. It looks like motor oil as I'm pouring it. Like used motor oil.
What does
as far as color wise
unfettered mean?
Uninhibited?
Google. That makes sense. Okay.
I don't have much head on mine, but Steve has a lot.
I kind of got a lot of bubbles when it was set down on the table.
That was an Andy pour.
No, it was when it was set down.
Yeah, your nucleation point went wild.
Nice nucleation point.
That's what it was.
Did you excite your beer?
Yeah, I did.
It's very dark.
Smell, I'm not getting a whole lot.
Not
much. Oh, I get banana, a lot of banana.
On the smell?
Yeah.
No.
Like I get vanilla and banana.
I'm not getting banana.
No banana.
So this is
maybe
a beer.
Maybe like banana bread?
It's been around for a few years, and I've never tried it. I always see it in the store, and I just pass it over. I go for the 90-minute, or I'll do something else. I just, for whatever reason, this is the first time I've had it.
I'm Andy on this one. Again, Dogfish Head, I try to buy as much as possible and just have never tried it. So really excited to actually have a chance to try it.
So the Palo Santo, what that is actually, it's an exotic Paraguayan wood, and the tanks are handcrafted. They're a wood barrel that's handcrafted from.
It's the most dense wood in the world.
I thought I smelled a little Paraguayan in here.
You had one of those?
And just reading the label here, so each vessel is 10,000 gallons, so it's the largest wooden brewing vessel built in America since before Prohibition. Just as a little backstory to the beer.
So they have the biggest wood?
Yes. Since Prohibition.
And thickest and strongest.
And it's dense.
Very dense.
Wow. I didn't smell this yet, but I tasted it, and wow.
I don't get much on the smell.
Let's start from the beginning, though.
So this is going to be hard to dissect.
It tastes so smooth to me.
It's
very
weird.
Smooth.
There's no aroma. I don't get.
Mm-mm. There's a smokiness to it, but other than that,
I get some hints of vanilla. Not strong by any stretch of imagination, but I get a little vanilla. Little bit of a kind of a toasted malt characteristic. I mean, what you'd expect from a, you know, an imperial brown.
It's the aroma is so much less than the last beer.
Yeah,
that's crazy. Much. I think it has a lot of aroma. I get vanilla. I get banana. I get.
I think
toasty,
it's all the head that you have. Like really, because yours smells a lot different than mine.
I think it's the vegetarianism.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's not been eating meat the last month, so he might have a heightened sense.
To it.
Yeah, it's like I lost one of my senses, so my others are heightened now. Now I know how Ben Affleck felt in Daredevil.
He's also on a cycle, apparently.
That was the worst movie ever. Why would you ever reference that?
No, you haven't seen Green Lantern.
I did. Huh. I think Daredevil was worse.
So what do you think, Andy? You're usually kind of a resident expert on the dark beers.
I taste the alcohol, and I don't know that it's a complaint because it's not off-putting. But and with Dogfish Head, like with the 120-minute, you taste the alcohol. It's just that's the way it is, you know.
I mean, it's at 12%. It's tough to hide.
It's tough 12%. It's not.
But
it doesn't taste like a 12%.
I wouldn't call it necessarily balanced. You know, there's not a sweetness that's balanced against the alcohol, but I don't know. It's a seemingly easy drinker for how much I taste the alcohol.
Yeah, really easy to drink.
It's not. I don't get the kick. So last night,
I was just going to say, this reminds me of the one from last night.
We had this beer called Sam Ale from Avery.
What
in Sam Ale?
Yeah, there was a lot of that going on.
14.6%. And when it was really cold, it was surprisingly drinkable. It warmed up a little bit, and it kicked like a mule. Yeah. It was pretty strong.
And I can see the same thing happening with this. If you let this sit around for a little bit, heat up, and because you can taste it right now. You can taste the alcohol with the 12%. And like I said, like everybody else has said already, that Dogfish is kind of known for that. You know, you always kind of taste it, but For me, the beer, it's not as balanced as I would like, I guess.
I agree.
It's a good beer. Don't get me wrong. I enjoy it, but I think it could be better.
It's not super heavy to me.
It's not, but it's
like
alcohol.
Previous beer seemed heavier to me than this.
Yeah, but it came with more flavors.
Yeah. This one, there's not...
The previous one.
Yeah.
It's not as complex to me. I mean, it's a good beer, and I do enjoy drinking it. But if I was forced to pick between this one and the stout that we had previously, I'm going to take the clown shoes.
Well, you're going to be forced to pick here in a few minutes.
I know. What?
Okay. Any other thoughts?
I definitely taste...
I'm trying to compare it to other brown ales. So when I think
it's not even close because it doesn't really match up with any.
Yeah.
I think
it actually
compares more to an imperial stout than a brown ale.
Well, I totally agree with that.
How about a Newcastle?
No, not even close.
You think like Moose Drool, you think
it's not even
Downtown Brown. It's not even close. Like it's completely different, but it's a really easy drinking brown ale.
I think a lot of that just comes from being aged in a barrel. You know, it mellows it out and it kind of smooths out the texture of the beer and everything. So I think a lot of that comes from the barrel itself.
Is there any liquor in the barrel or anything like that? I didn't read the label.
It doesn't say. It's unfiltered.
Because it has like that, you know, we've referenced it before, the Stouter Day we went to last year. A lot of those were barrel-aged beers, and you could taste the bourbon or the whiskey or whatever barrel it was in. You could taste that. And I kind of get that in this beer, but it sounds like that's not what it was.
No. Well, I mean, they're a custom-built tank, so it doesn't have anything else in it. It's just, you get that raw
maybe
wood.
Palo Santo tastes like bourbon.
Do you get caramel and vanilla?
No, I think it just has that smoothing property.
Yeah.
Like white wine, they age in not...
Uncharred
French oak,
yeah,
and all it does is smooth it out as opposed to influencing the flavor. And that could be the case here. I don't know for sure, but
I think there's that butteriness. I get that. Mm-hmm. You know,
it's got a velvety texture. I mean, it's very smooth to drink, and it's a good beer. I enjoy it. It's just
for as complex as I feel like it is, it's one of the hardest beers I've had to explain.
Velvety is a good way to explain this.
So on last week's show, and even the week before that, we have been talking about the mergers of craft breweries with the big boys.
Yeah.
InBev, Anheuser-Busch, Miller Coors, Duvel. Duvel bought Firestone. We talked about the rumor that St. Archer is selling to Miller Coors. InBev, Anheuser-Busch has been buying up Elysian and all these other breweries. And I ran across an article with Sam Calagione, who is the founder of Dogfish Head. And they got his opinion on this recent trend of these craft of the big macro breweries buying up the smaller craft breweries. And it was a pretty interesting article. I'm going to put a link to it on the podcast page. So if you go to beerthedaycom, this podcast, you can read the article, and I won't go too much into it, but basically the point he's making is that it is, the reason that they're doing this is so they kind of buy these craft breweries and they let them do their thing, right? They brew their weird beers, and so they maintain the image of being a small craft brewery. And then they take their like three flagship beers and they make them at the big
mass produce.
So they say, where is it here? At the big megaplex, right? Yeah. They brew and then they mass produce those ones, and then they sell them cheaply at, where it comes out to be like a dollar a beer.
Yep.
$6 for a six pack. Whereas all the other craft brewers are $8 or $9 for a six pack. And so they undercut them
And that's how they're doing it, where they're basically changing the market to fit their strategy. Right. So anyway, he said that they asked if he would have any collaborations with those big breweries, and they said there's zero chance that Dogfish would ever sit down to talk to them about opportunities to work together. So he's not even going to entertain the idea.
Until the founder goes away and somebody else steps in behind him.
Right. It's easy to say until when there's $2 billion in front of your face.
I don't know. All about so money. I don't know if, you know, I've watched, this guy's been on some TV shows in the past, and I've listened to a lot of talks he's given at various, you know, beer conferences.
Yeah.
This guy would never sell.
He wouldn't.
He will never sell. You know, he's a relatively young guy. He could be around for another 30, 40 years. So I don't think we have anything to worry about. By then, the craft beer scene will be decided. And whatever it is, if it's, you know, the mass production or it's an actual, you know, the scene we have today, we'll know what it's going to be. But it's funny to hear him talk and talk about this subject, because, you know, you know he's against it. And a lot of other people are. You know, it's tough to make that decision. I agree. You got $1 billion in your face. It's hard to say no to that, right?
Right. And he even says that. And he doesn't pull any punches here. He says, so I'd never shit on anyone's decision to sell out, you know, but he thinks that their intentions aren't good. Like, so obviously a lot of these people get to the point where they don't want to do it anymore. They get too old. They want to retire. They're successful. And then so they sell out and that's their choice.
Yeah. And we've talked about that. What do you do when you are ready to retire? Do you hire management to run your brewery? Because you still want to be ultimately in control. Or do you sell your brewery? And if you're going to sell it, wouldn't you sell it for the most amount of money?
Yeah. Yep.
So what do you do?
Yeah. So anyway, that article, the link will be on the website. All right. Let's recap the beers we had, and then we will pick our favorite beer of the day. Andy, you want to take us through the beers we had tonight?
Yeah, we started off with the Sam Adams Honey Wheat Braggot. We moved on to the Bouncy House IPA with the scary woman on the label. And then we had the Flying Fish Belgian Double. After the break, we had our Strange Brew Eric's Ale, the Wood Age Sour Peach Ale. And then we had our Undead Party Crasher Imperial Stout from Clown Shoes. And we finished it off with the Palo Santo Marrone Imperial Brown Ale.
So I said it last week, and I think we need to start with the one of the newcomers as far as picking the beer of the day.
Yep, Megan.
I can't remember.
Well, Andy just recapped them, so...
You weren't listening?
All right. I think I'm going to have to go with the Flying Fish Belgian Double.
Good choice.
That was really good. I liked it.
All right, Matt.
It's a little bit of a tough choice. I actually really liked the Clown Shoes. That one was surprisingly good, but Dogfish Head, you guys knew from the start. So
you're picking it just because it's from Dogfish Head?
Which one did you like better?
Right.
Actually, I really enjoyed it. I like brown.
I really like this one, but I want to pick that one because it's from Dogfish Head.
I like everything that Dogfish Head puts out.
Okay,
clearly,
so we'll
but
give you that one.
This one I actually really enjoyed. I was surprised by the fact that it's a brown ale. It's 12%. Kind of expected to be over the top, but it wasn't. It was really easy to drink. Really enjoyed it.
Steve.
I am going to take the Strange Brew tonight, Eric's Ale, the Sour Peach. I love sours. They're my thing right now. I thought it was really drinkable. I really enjoyed it. I could drink 5 of those.
And not sour?
Just a little bit of sour.
How much did that beer cost?
It was
$9.99.
It was $9, $10.
For a sour, that's a pretty good deal.
Yep. Considering I paid $22 for Love Child number 5.
Well, and sitting, it was in the case right next to all the Firestone anniversaries and all the ones that were locked up and a bunch of sours from Cascade. But, you know, I mean, it's New Belgium. They're a big brewery and they do it pretty cheap.
Well, I just want Steve to know what he's getting into. He said he was going to drink 5 of them. So
I'm on it. Let's do it.
All right.
One night.
So I'm kind of torn. I like the Sam Adams Honey Queen Braggot, But at the same time, I was all about the Strange Brew from Eric's Ale, the wood aged sour ale.
Wood fired pizza.
Yes, that one. And I think I'm gonna have to go with the sour peach ale. It had a little bit more of what I was looking for. It wasn't as sour as I'm used to, being that I'm kind of new to sours, but I've come to really enjoy them. But I definitely think I'm gonna have to go with that one.
Okay, so on to me. For me, it comes down to the Strange Brew, which I really enjoyed, and then the Clown Shoes. And if I'm forced to pick one, which I am, I have to go with the Clown Shoes.
Yeah, it's, I thought he was going to pick the sour because he bought it.
No. It was a good beer, but for me, that Clown Shoes was just very complex and had a bunch of flavors going on. And like I said, I would love to see that in a barrel aged version, in addition to what they had. But for me, that's the beer of the day today.
All right. Well, as much as I like that Bouncy House IPA.
Dude, you took my joke. That was my joke. Dun-dun-dun.
No, what I really should say is, as much as I liked the Belgian Double, I agree with Megan. That one surprised me. Mm-hmm. It was better than I ever expected it to be. But my favorite beer of the night was the Undead Party Crasher Imperial Stout Clown Shoes. They took a darker approach to these Imperial Stouts, but still managed to keep it very drinkable. Mm-hmm. And that was my favorite beer of the night for sure.
I'm just gonna say ditto. No, the Imperial Stout from Clown Shoes. You know, it just goes to show every beer we've had from them has been. I call them like creamy, but they're not. It's not from carbonation or anything. It's just how well balanced they always are. I'm impressed with this beer that, you know, the balance they had. I think there's a ton of bitterness in there and there's a ton of sweetness, and the end product is neither. I think that's cool when you get a beer like that that does it so perfectly. So I was really impressed. That was far and away my beer of the day.
All right. Well, I don't think there's a unanimous choice, but obviously we had.
I think we picked three Clown Shoes.
We had three Clown Shoes.
There was a winner.
That's
a winner.
Two on the Strange Brew.
Two on the Strange Brew and one on the Belgian.
And one on the Dogfish Head.
So it wasn't unanimous. You're right. It
wasn't unanimous, but we did get to have some
majority votes.
We did get to have some different beers tonight that we could all enjoy. So on that note, use some Boston to play us out.
Keep it on the East Coast.
East Coast.
Tom Brady sucks.
All right, we're going to head out here for the night. We will see you next week. Until then, check out our website, beeroftheday.com. And if you have any comments about this show, you can send us an email at feedback@beerofthedaycom. For Andy Hamilton, Megan Marin, Matt Hardy, Steve Williamson, Kira Hopkin, Brandon Hofer, I'm Dallas Hellicker. We'll see you next time right here on the Beer of the Day podcast.